The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
We are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, and March Madness may be underway, but there is no shortage of storylines in the NFL. We have plenty to discuss and to hit on, and I'm always so excited because each and every week we have the opportunity to visit with Jason Peter, three-time national champion at the University of Nebraska, with our weekly Under the Helmet segment, who does a terrific job. And Jason, it's great to have you on, and I just can't believe it. After 14 years and 11 playoff appearances, 11 Pro Bowls, 8 division titles, and oh my goodness, that just goes on and on, all the accolades. 2 Super Bowl trips, 1 championship. Peyton Manning is no longer an Indianapolis Colt. How surprised are you that this came down?
Well, that's it. I thought he passed away with some of the comments and the tributes that I've seen and heard to Peyton over the last 24 hours. It's I saw a few tweets, one of them coming from Ryan Leaf, who was also a member of our 1998 draft class, but he sent out a tweet that was retweeted, I think, by the NFL Network or something, saying how he's a legend and his career and this. But, I mean, it was basically like he had put the nail in the coffin. And I'm sure from Ryan Leaf's perspective, he probably wishes that Peyton would ride off into the sunset just so that conversation, and because it was big, I mean, back then. Obviously, I went through it all being in that draft class, but it was like, who's going to be one? Who's going to be two? A bunch of teams have Ryan Leaf as number one. Other people have Peyton as number one. And gosh, when you just look at the way those careers played out, to look back and think back about how there was ever even that close, I guess, of a decision to be made is just head scratching. But yeah, it's look. I mean, even for the great ones, the NFL franchises, the people upstairs in the suits, the ones that make the decisions, from the moment that you step foot in their building as a rookie, somebody upstairs, whether it's his main job or whether it's something that he has to keep in the back of his mind, part of that or that obligation for that guy is, I've got to find this guy's replacement. I've got to find the guy who's walking in our door for the first day. I've got to find his replacement. And I think they just looked at it. I mean, obviously they were fortunate to have a quarterback like Peyton Manning that excelled at a high level since the day he walked in there. And he is the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, you think about the struggles that they had since moving to Indianapolis, and I mean, you know, even with the new stadium, I mean, it's the house that Peyton built, and he made the Indianapolis Colts relevant again, and made them a contender, and made them a Super Bowl champ, and these are things that certainly it's not all Peyton, but it's he was certainly a big part of it, and you look at what happened to Indianapolis with a year without Peyton, and I think it's easy to say that that guy was a huge part of the Indianapolis Colts, and no matter which way you look at it, even, you know, with the opportunity to draft Andrew Luck or Robert Griffin, you don't know which one of those guys is the Ryan Leaf, and that wrong decision can set you back 5-10 years.
Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, and certainly one of the biggest question marks that everybody wants to know now and discussing is, where will Peyton Manning play in 2012? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, your guess is as good as mine. Obviously, a lot of talk about Miami. I know Peyton has a home down there. It's in the AFC, which he wants to stay in the AFC. I think they would like to keep that Manning Super Bowl possibility an option, with Eli being in New York. You know, there's talk about the Jets, but does Peyton want to go into a city where Eli has, you know, set up shop and he's got his fan base there. I think it would be great. I think it would be awesome to have both of them in the same city. I mean, I don't look at it as, you know, Peyton kind of stepping on Eli. A big brother comes in to take away all the hard work that the younger brother was doing. I look at it as you have two of the premier quarterbacks in the NFL. They're both beloved brothers for the most part by everybody in the NFL. And just think, I mean, the New York Daily News with Eli on the front and the Post or the Times, well, not the Times, but the Post with, you know, Peyton on the front. I mean, it would be, people walking around wearing their colors like they do in Compton with you either wear blue or red for the Bloods or the Crips in New York. You wear green or blue for the Jets or the Giants. But, yeah, your guess is as good as mine. And Denver, I think, has inquired, and that was one of the places before it was even publicized. I thought, with all of the talk with Tim Tebow out there, and I think no matter what you hear coming out of John Fox's mouth or John Elway's mouth, I think everybody still thinks those guys have some doubt in whether or not Tim Tebow will be a quarterback, a starting quarterback, a successful starting quarterback in the NFL for, you know, the next 10 years. And I think this would give them an out. If they don't really believe in Tim Tebow, truly, truly in their heart believe in Tim Tebow, because this they can say, but it's Peyton Manning. It's Peyton Manning. How can we not bring this guy in? If he wants to play in Denver, we have to. So we'll just let him be a mentor to Tim Tebow, and Tebow can stay on the bench and learn from one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Similar as Aaron Rodgers when Brett Favre was still in Green Bay. I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers pretty much went through his entire first rookie contract before he ever really stepped foot on the field. That's not a bad way to go about it. I mean, especially as a quarterback, you're saving your body, you're learning from a great player, you're collecting checks. I mean, life's good. I mean, obviously you want to be out there on the field, but I just think, with some of these guys, they'll come to a point, I think, when they realize longevity. To be able to play that game for 10, 15 years and get paid nicely to do it, it just sets you up for the rest of your life.
Well, I thought Peyton Manning was very classy in his exit. I know it was a very emotional press conference. I'm not sure if you had an opportunity to watch that, but I actually thought about you because, you know, Jason, throughout your NFL career, you sustained a number of neck injuries, and I don't know how many surgeries that you did have, but I know that you can relate to, you know, playing with pain and of course, Peyton trying to, you know, recover, and I have to wonder how much closer he is to getting back on the field. What's your insight?
Yeah, he had the same surgery as I did, the fusion. I mean, I've now, and even with being out of the league now and not taking any major shots, collisions, the total has come to about 5 neck surgeries. But I had the fusion done back when I was playing. I remember my parents thought or said to me, can't you maybe go to the owner and get a year off where you could really let those vertebrae fuse and heal? And I was thinking, oh, gosh, they would never do that for a player. And certainly Peyton Manning is in a different category, but with the year off, I think he'll come back, and he had a great doctor in Robert Watkins. He was a guy that consulted on my neck back when I was going through the process, and he, just earlier in the week, cleared Peyton to go back to doing football activities, and reportedly he's been throwing the ball well, and I think for a guy who plays the quarterback position and isn't getting hit every single play as compared to myself, who was a defensive lineman, and it's a guarantee that on every play you're going to be colliding with a 300, 350-pound offensive lineman. There's no way around it. With Peyton, if the offensive line does a good job, he might not get hit the entire game. So I think as long as the nerves and everything have healed and have regenerated, I think he'll be fine. And I don't look at it as like a lot of other people do, whereas you're getting a washed-up Peyton Manning. I think if this neck heals fine and all signs are pointing to that it is a full recovery, I don't see why this guy just won't be able to step back out on the field and perform at a high level. You got to imagine that the year off has provided a hunger again inside of him. Not that he ever lost it, but I know sitting on the sidelines, kind of what I just talked about with Tebow and being on the sidelines and you want to play, and I'm sure even with Peyton that was the case, and wanting to get back out there and you want to help your team. And because when you're not out there, you're almost kind of, you're excommunicated from the team. I mean, you're not going to the meetings. You're not doing, the everyday stuff. And you just kind of fall off towards the side a little bit because they've got enough, the coaches, to worry about the 53 guys that are getting dressed for the game on Sunday. And that's one of the unfortunate things. But you also look at it as Peyton's body's had an entire year to heal. All of the other muscles in his body, none of them have been taking hits. None of them have been going through real strenuous workouts. So I think this guy is going to come back, and I think he's going to be performing at a very, very high level.
Just a few more minutes this weekend on the Big E Sports Show with Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. Of course, we want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And you can also check out Jason's website. He's got some great stuff on there at jasonpeter.com. And my final topic that we've got to hit on, Jason, and I'm kind of smiling here, a female kicker focused on a spot with the LSU football team. As I understand, she's a very serious athlete, and she was a part of the LSU soccer team from 2008 to 2011. So the first female athlete to be perhaps a football player. What are your thoughts on that? You are a father of two young daughters. Would you want your girls playing football with the guys?
No, I would not.
Hey, I thought you were a liberated man. Come on now, Jay.
Well, maybe if it was at Harvard or Yale or
okay.
Something like that, but not down in the bayou, not on LSU football team.
What about OU?
OU, nope. You pretty much got to get out of all the major conferences, and you got to get into the Ivy League, and that's pretty much it. And even at that, I don't know if I would be game for it. Look, there was the case back in 1999 out at Colorado, and ultimately it led to, I believe, Gary Barnett's firing out there at Colorado. It was another female kicker, Katie Hinda, I believe her name was, and she said that, that she was verbally abused, she said physically abused, and, I don't know if those, I don't believe they were ever, got kids were ever convicted, or I believe it was allegations, but I think as a coach, look, I'm just not, this is the thing, and I just think that there's women's sports for women, and there's men's sports for men, and I realize there's not a collegiate team for a female, but is there collegiate softball for men? if a guy wanted to go play on the women's softball team,
right,
would he be allowed? No, right? So it's the same thing.
You can't have your cake and eat yours too, right?
Right. But I just... it's a shame. I mean, obviously, Title IX has done a lot of good, but I believe it's also limited things in other ways. There's a lot of universities, a lot of schools that would like to have certain teams, but they can't because, it has to be matched and there has to be equal amounts of opportunity there. But I just think Les Miles, obviously he's not going to come out and say no. It would be a media nightmare for him. I think he's probably hoping that eventually she either just fails or she just decides this isn't for me. But look, you got to look at you know, the LSUs, the Nebraskas, the Oklahomas. Not all those guys are saints. You need a few, and I guess, you know, excuse my terminology here, but you need a few thugs on that football team. Some guys that once football's over for them, if they don't make it to the NFL, you know, there's a good chance that they're going to be getting into trouble. And that's just, you know, the way that I remember those days. I don't think you're going to be able to put 120 saints on one team and win a national championship. You need some guys that just want to go out there and play football, and sometimes those aren't the guys who you want to have date your daughter, but they'll win you some football games, and you just kind of cross your fingers that they don't get in trouble while they're at your school. And I'm not saying this would happen down at LSU, but if it was my daughter, like the question was posed, I would be against it.
Well, it certainly is a polarizing topic, and I'm sure that perhaps down the road we'll discuss it some more. We'll keep our eye on her and see how things shake out. But Jason, always a pleasure to catch up with you, and I know you love hoops too, so perhaps next week we'll be talking about some of this March Madness that's going on. You take care.
Absolutely, and let's not forget about the old Saints issues.
Oh, my gosh. How did we not talk about that this week?
That's going to last the entire office.
Okay, so we'll get to that next week. Thank you. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.